Yeah. My righteousness, O God, how I need you.
Let's just fill this place with God's glory. Praise to you, Lord. Holy is thy name, worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Praise to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank and praise you. We give you all glory. You alone are worthy, worthy of all our praise. Everything we do, move, say, and in our being is from you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy, 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 Lord. We stand in the throne room, Lord, receiving all the gifts that you have given to us, receiving all that your love and your mercy. We rejoice in that, Lord. We rejoice in your forgiving us by sending Jesus, not to condemn us, but to save us from everything around us, but mostly from ourselves, Lord. Lord, help us to give over everything that's keeping us from coming directly to you as stumbling blocks in our way, Lord. We give them all to you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's my pleasure to introduce to you our next speaker, Mark Mussman. Mark has been married for 52 years to his lovely wife, Kathy. He's the he is the head director of Presentation Ministries. He's one of the directors of Presentation Ministries. So when he said it was his first time here, his first time today here, maybe, but he is very, he knows this place very well. Again, it's a strong gift of vision for the ministry, the lead. So we need that vision. We need that direction. We need that oar to guide us and direct us. He's a leader of the Bible Institute, which many of you have come to many years in a row, 33, I think. And right now it's in standby because Xavier won't let us in because of COVID. So keep praying for that. He's a member of the outreach team, which takes these teachings out to your parishes. He's a member of his home-based community and also many other things. So please welcome Mark Mussman, who will speak on healing as Jesus commands, forgive, repent, and believe. Mark Mussman. I am. Extend your hands and we'll pray for Mark. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for this man of God. Lord, we ask your special anointing would fall upon him. Allow the Spirit of the living God to fall afresh upon him. Allow the Spirit to woo him. Lord, allow the love of the Spirit to be in his heart as he speaks to us, Lord, that he would speak to us in love, that he would speak to us that the things that are in our way keep us from receiving that love. So, Lord, we ask that these words that you have prepared in his heart, they would be words that we need to hear so that we can come closer and closer to you, Lord. Again, you are the Savior. You're not the you're not a condemner. You're a Savior. And the condemner, Satan, you must go bound to the foot of the cross. You have no authority here whatsoever. You must leave now, leave this place, and our hearts be open to every word that is said here. Mother Mary, wrap your mantle of protection upon him, and again, allow the Holy Spirit to anoint him and guide him every step of the way through this teaching. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Jesus, praise you.
Come on. I have to wave to the camera. Well, I'm sorry I was a little late. I thought I didn't come on until 2. So you can wait for the 2 o'clock talk. So these talks, you can hear a lot of things in our lives. You know, the reading, you know, from in tell God I'll call you back. The reading, you know, as we look and we go on this journey, there's a scripture that really hits base with me. It's when it's in Mark after the transfiguration, when the apostles come down and they're trying to heal this one particular person, you know, and I need to start this. And the Father, you know, asked Jesus, you know, can you heal? Because the apostles weren't doing such a good job. And it's very interesting because it's something that all of us really need to really think about in our lives. It's almost like the homily today. You know, the Father, rather than trying to make arguments, you know, Jesus said, you know, if I can, he says, all things are possible for him who trusts or who believes. Excuse me. The man realized that he did believe. And we all realize that we do believe. I don't think there's a person in here that does not believe. But the man was smart enough. He said, I do believe, but help my lack of trust. You see, it's like when Jesus said, come and see, he was building our belief into trust. And each step, when we step out and work in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we are confirming more and more within our own selves to build up this trust relationship with the Lord. It's a two-way relationship. Jesus talks to us, God talks to us, and we work together as co-workers. And we work together in the gifts that he has given. So that's what kind of came to me when I was thinking on these talks, that, you know, obedience to the Lord, listen to the Lord, you know. And so today, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, Jesus healing or just the healing and forgiveness. And a lot of things you hear instructions, well, this is how we pray for healing. This is how we pray for such a thing. And this here, I felt that God was calling me to help you to experience the forgiveness right now. God forgiving you and you having the graces to be able to forgive someone. Who that is, I don't know. But boy, if we can just, after this talk, if we can just be able to see this blockage and be able to do something and take it with us. It's worth more than all the words I can give you. All the words you could hear while you're here. This is just one thing, it's forgiveness. It came to me when I started to talk, it says, boy, this is like what goes around comes around. You know, you don't forgive, kind of comes around. And it says, but what comes around also goes around. It's a circle, unforgiveness. This describes an unending cycle for the unforgiveness that affects our very being when we continue in this cycle. Health people have physical findings regarding the forgiveness. Do not pay attention to what's being handed out. Physical findings, you know, that they have found, it says that forgiveness allows your brain to produce more oxytocin, meaning that you have less fear of betrayal and more ability to move on from a hurtful situation. Adverse thoughts and feelings that in turn allow your physical being to be healed. This is coming from health sciences, that this forgiveness has a physical reaction within us. We can benefit from healing even if the person we forgive isn't aware of our feelings or even no longer even alive. Yet, as you take steps to restore peace in your heart, you will feel a shift, a change. Every act of forgiveness is letting go, is an act of healing your own self. Every act of forgiveness. Father Al, the founder of Presentation Ministry, says that first when he was ordained a priest, He believed that over 50% of all problems were due to unforgiveness. After 10 years of ministry, he revised that estimate to maintain 75 to 80% of all health, marital, family, and financial problems came from unforgiveness. Then after more than 20 years in ministry, he concluded that over 90% of all problems are rooted in unforgiveness. If we look around and we see the emotional problems that we have in the United States and the world, it's mostly somebody not willing to forgive, even to ourselves or somebody else. I'll be darned if I'm going to forgive them. God says to forgive, which is an act of obedience to him. It is when you obey God that the healing process begins. It says that in Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness is an act of compassion, kindness, and mercy. I would like for us to pause for a moment here and just think about, in your life experience, what does unforgiveness bring to your well-being? How many persons do you know that are bound up by unforgiveness? Include yourself. So we're going to take a moment, and I just ask that you would just allow the Lord to speak to you about these situations that are in your life now. So we're going to pause here. I know why in preparing for this, I thought I was all prepared and had them all figured out. But there was a lot that came in my mind. And you know, most of it was me. You know, to forgive myself. You know, God made me in his image and likeness. But do I love him like he loved? Do I love me like he loves me? Will I accept what God love he has for me? The imperfections that we see in ourselves, he doesn't see. So we need to forgive ourselves. So in the ministry of, you know, healing for unforgiveness, you know, that's one of the things that people need to understand and to help experience. In Genesis 1:26, he says, he made him into your divine image and likeness. That's how he sees us. Unforgiveness stops us in our tracks, in our journey of experiencing the kingdom of God. That's what it does. Forgiveness is the act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. It's a quote from Corey Ten Boom. But the Christian mantra of forgive, forget, and move on isn't always easy. It's almost like the mantra of, like, oh, I'll pray for you. Yeah, we'll pray for you. You know, oh, forgive, forget. You know, when in reality, this person has a real problem, you know, with a relationship with the Lord. For some, it's extremely hard. And for some, it's impossible. It's unnatural to forgive, especially when someone really hurts us. To err is human, to forgive is divine. But God says to forgive, whether it's forgiveness of others or forgiveness of ourselves. Forgiveness is a very important beginning for the healing process. From scriptures, we can see both repentance and forgiveness are important steps in our journey towards experiencing parts of the kingdom of God here on earth. You know, Jesus said in John 15 and 11, I tell you all this that my joy may be complete in you. He wasn't talking about when you die. He was saying that he wants us to have this joy. Why would you do the fruits of the Holy Spirit be love, joy, peace, happiness? That's the kingdom of God. That's what forgiveness stops us from receiving fully. We can see in the first gospel of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 3:2-15, John Baptist calls us to repent, confess our sins, reform our lives so our sins may be forgiven in order for us to receive the Holy Spirit. He says that we must give in for now. First word is recorded in there. Jesus says, give in for now. So we can experience the kingdom of God. First recorded word in Matthew, which is the first book. It's not the first one written, but it's the first one because of the emphasis to tell us that we need to surrender to the Lord and to give in now. Repent, show evidence, sincerity, forgiveness. Then receive the Holy Spirit and fire, for the kingdom of God is here. We see the same thing in the Our Father. It's Our Father who art in heaven. We recognize the fatherly love of God. Hallowed be thy name. We declare that God's name is holy and showing reverence to that name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we may experience a part of the kingdom here on earth, that the joy of Jesus may be complete within us. Give us this day our daily bread. We recognize the dependency upon God. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, did that one. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sins against us. We need to have unconditional forgiveness. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. See, forgiveness finally unlocks the path to experience freedom. That is God's kingdom that is on earth today. I share these verses with you as Matthew chapter 3 is something that you can take with you. Read Matthew chapter 3 and see these little points that are in there. Read 18, the Our Father. Meditate on the Our Father. Those are two takeaways you can take from here. It appears that most problems come from unforgiveness. From that, we can understand why Jesus emphasizes throughout the gospel the extreme degree on forgiveness. For instance, when Peter suggests to Jesus that we should forgive 7 times in Matthew 18, 21. 7 in the Bible stands for an indefinite number of times. So Peter was saying we should forgive indefinitely. This is correct. Answer, but not the correct emphasis. Jesus proclaims we should forgive 70 times 7, indefinitely times indefinitely. Jesus goes on to further emphasize forgiveness by saying God's kingdom is a matter of forgiveness, and those who do not forgive are handed over to the torturers. People who have not forgiven, you can see it on them. You know these people, and most of the times me. But what it does to you, and that can be seen in the parable of the merciless official in Matthew. Says in this parable, the official was forgiven his debt by his master, but went out afterwards and demanded payment from others who were indebted to him. And as we know, the master found out and sent the officials to the torturers. And we'll talk about them in a minute. When Jesus decided, asked them to teach them how to pray, he told them to pray that they be forgiven as they forgive the Our Father. It says in Matthew 6:14, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others' sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Forgive to our sinfulness keeps us from the mercy that God has for us. We just finished Divine Mercy Sunday. You know, sometimes I had a confessor, and I went to confession. I told him my sins, and he says, "You know, Mark," he says, "is God in sin?" You know, I said, "Trick question." He says, "You know, is the glass half empty or half full?" He says, "God's mercy is in the sin. He has this mercy where he died on the cross for us, you know, and poured out this mercy for our sins." So as we sin, we should realize this mercy of God as we go and repent. It shouldn't be, "Wow, I'm if I die, I'll go to heaven." It should be, "Wow, God loves me to provide this mercy to forgive and forget all sins." And I could go an hour on that. God delights, forgiveness is an act of obedience. How many times we've heard obedience? God delights in your obedience, especially when you obey him in challenging times. It's easy to do it when times are not so challenging. Obedience is a way of life for God's people. Your obedience to God is what makes your relationship with him possible. It is a virtue that keeps you close to your Heavenly Father. Your obedience to God is what makes your relationship with him possible. It is a virtue that keeps you close to your Heavenly Father. God urges us to forgive others, but forgiving others isn't that easy. You might want to forgive, but when you think about the past hurt, you hesitate to forgive. It's posing a challenge to you. It's challenging to you to obey God and to forgive others, to disobey God and keep holding on to unforgiveness. I would say that to obey God and to step out like that, God will show you his mercy. He will show you a new way in your life that was not seen. It may look impossible to forgive, but once you do it, his mercy will abound. Obviously, it's always better to obey God. When you follow through with God's instructions, in this case, to forgive, you are positioning yourself for his blessings of peace and healing. It's only God who can mend your broken heart and heal your wounded souls. Brothers and sisters, the verdict we pass on others is passed on to us. Unforgiveness is a fatal poison. Unforgiveness is a fatal poison which cuts us off from forgiveness, cuts us off from healing. It cuts us off from prayer and cuts us off for worship. It's a poison that cuts us off from the kingdom of God. When we are separated from these graces, we are handed over to the torturers. These torturers are not people. No, they're not people, but worse. They are such experiences as fear, depression, frustration, anxiety, self-hatred, and loneliness. As these and other tortures work us over, we deteriorate to a level of existence which is characterized by fruitlessness compulsion, escaping, and activities. We deteriorate to those levels. Forgiveness is a decision to accept God's grace, to let go of resentment due to sins committed against us, and to express this by extending loving mercy to those who have sinned against us. Forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. Forgiveness is a decision to accept God's grace to forgive. To forgive, you have the grace. Forgiveness is divine. It's a supernatural response to being sinned against. If we ask for the grace to forgive others for their attitudes, methods, motives, and characters, we actually sin when we judge others' attitudes, motives, and characters. We should judge the morality of their actions, not the person. If we are judging the people rather than their actions, we really don't need to forgive others. Rather, we should repent of judging others. We need to be forgiven. If we're judging the people rather than their action, we need to forgive others. We don't need to forgive others. Rather, we should repent of judging others. I know that in my life, it's hard for me to get around that. Hard for me to back off. But as I experience to step forward and just obey God, to listen to God, and the only way you can listen to God is through praying and being attentive to Him. You know, maybe have a prayer time, maybe go visit, you know, then I see a new thing in my life. I see a blockage being taken away, a freedom that's been given back to me, a torturer who has left the room. They may not all leave the room, but these, you know, if one leaves the room, boy, it's a real relief. We naturally don't want to forgive, but the Lord changes our heart by reminding us that He's forgiven us of an overwhelming debt of sin. We not only celebrate the Eucharist in memory of Jesus, but also we forgive in the memory of Him. We celebrate in the Eucharist and we forgive in the memory of what He has done for us. God's forgiveness of us is basis for the grace to forgive others. We forgive because He first forgave us. The Lord forgave us before He had ever given anyone else. Tradition says in the church, the night of Gethsemane. The night of Gethsemane, He saw all the sins of the world. Not the past ones. Not only, but the future ones. He's seen the sins that each one of us are going to commit tomorrow. In my case, it's probably the next 5 minutes. But He's seen that. He's seen that, and His mercy filled the rest of that cup and made it clean. His death. He was willing to take the bullet for us, to step in front and take that upon Himself so that we would have life and have life to the fullest. So we need to forgive like He forgave. We need to be willing to take that bullet for our brothers and sisters. I mean, if it was life and death, it'd probably be easier. But if it's lifestyle, then we're talking something a little personal. You want me to do this? I mean, I should forgive unconditionally? It'd be a strong argument if we get to heaven. So to know that we have been forgiven by God is essential for accepting God's grace to forgive. If you experience this, I know this is, you know, on healing. Most of the people you will be dealing with need that unforgiveness to forgiveness, healing of memories. You know, they need that, but they need compassion and love from you and us. They need to bring them to a relationship with Jesus, a relationship that begins and ends at the cross. The cross is the mercy of God, the mercy of Jesus. He doesn't want us to be on that cross, so why get on it? You know, he don't want you to stay in that tomb. So why stay in the tomb? He wanted us to be resurrected. He wanted us to receive his mercy and forgiveness and the hope. Both Pope Paul VI and Pope John Paul II has lamented that one of the greatest tragedies of our times is the loss of sense of sin. I don't have to repeat that. If we deny that we have sin, then we deny our need for God's forgiveness and deprive ourselves both of the graces to be forgiven and the grace to forgive. Without sin, we wouldn't need a Savior. So admit it, we are sinners because we need a Savior. Nevertheless, those who lost the sense of sin tend to be permissive. They are deeply hurt by others' sin. However, they have no way to deal with this. You can only help them by bringing them to the Lord. They can't keep denying that they are hurt by other sins. So eventually, those who have lost the sense of sin become extremely intolerant and dictatorial. Boy, he's getting us awful close to home here, people, with the environment we're living in now. Over 100 years ago, Pope Leo the 13th said, observed that most relativization, especially in the context of democracy, would breed a totalitarian dictatorship, very abusive to human rights. I guess God didn't want me to read that sentence. Either that or Satan. Because the moral relativism, especially in the context of democracy, that would breed totalitarianism, dictatorship, very abusive to human. Don't want to get that out. That's a quote in The Splendor of the Truth. The author of the Book of Wisdom made the same point. Secular humanists of this day have lost the sense of sin. They say, come, therefore, let us enjoy the good things that are real and use the freshness of creativity. Let us have our fill of costly wine. Let us concern ourselves with the rosebuds, ere they wither. Let no metal be free of, and on and on. Then the sinners who deny sin propose, let us oppose the needy, just men. More money, more greed, stepping on other people. Let us neither spare the widow or revere the old man for his hair grown with white. But let our strength be our norm of justice, for weakness proves itself useless. Let us beset the just one. By losing the sense of sin, we lose the grace to forgive. Consequently, a permissive society is unforgiving, unmerciful. Let us admit that there is sin and we have sinned. Then we can repent, be forgiven, and pass that on forgiveness to others. When we remember God's forgiveness of us and accept God's grace to be willing to forgive, then we can accept God's grace to replace these false forgiveness and true forgiveness with true forgiveness. The world, our flesh, and the devil try to deceive us into thinking that we've already forgiven others. To make forgiveness look humanly possible, we are tempted to redefine forgiveness as politeness or control of hostile feelings. Although it's obviously good to be polite and self-controlled, these do not constitute forgiveness. Father Al, in his book, which just fell on the floor, the book on forgiveness, this is in that book to some degree. He goes through these questions to help whether or not we're deceiving ourselves. And I'm just going to go through briefly. Am I conscious that God gave me the grace to forgive? Am I conscious that God gave it to me and that I did not do it myself? If you're not aware that God, their books are right up here. There are none in the back. Aware that God did, he may have not. Can I picture myself embracing that person? Wow, that's a good one. Do I appreciate confession? Do I repent and celebrate it frequently? If we're forgiven graciously and lovingly, we are being forgiven in this way in the sacrament. This would attract us to confessions. Do I need to forgive myself? Not forgiving ourselves is a symptom that we have not forgiven someone else, although we may be deceiving ourselves through false forgiveness. Have I forgiven but not forgotten? We have neither the power to forgive nor to forget. If the Lord has given us the grace to forgive, we have also been given the grace to forget. This does not mean we have amnesia, but the healing of memories. The healing of memories. Pope John Paul II has taught, to forgive is and to be reconciled mean to purify one's memories of hatred and desire for revenge. It means acknowledging as brothers even those who have wronged us. It means not being overcome by evil, but overcoming evil with good. Takes a lot of guts or power to do that. Pope John Paul II also teaches the truth is that one cannot remain a prisoner of the past. A prisoner of the past. Are we prisoners of our past? For individuals and people need a sort of healing of memories, or you'd be the prisoner of the past. So that the past evils will not come back again. This does not mean forgetting the past events. It means re-examine them with a new attitude and learning precisely from the experience of the suffering that only love can build up. If we have false forgiveness, we need to pray it. We need to replace it with true forgiveness. In conclusion, in Psalm 103, it says that he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Forgiveness is an attribute of God. Now, what I'd like to do is the paper that was handed out to you. You all hold up the paper that was just handed out to you. You got extra, and the people at your table don't have it. I got about 5 more minutes. This is an exercise that you can do and you can work with other people this is all contained in the Book of Forgiveness. So we don't have a whole lot of them, but whatever, you know, you can order them. It's a very good book. But let's pray, you know, the first is a prayer, you know, to Mary, the mother of forgiveness. So we're going to pray and start out, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask for your willingness to forgive and the grace to forgive immediately all who have sinned against me. On Calvary, gave Mary the grace to forgive me for my part in killing her son. Then gave Mary the grace to become my mother. Mary, Mother of Forgiveness, may I forgive others as you forgave me in imitation of your Son. Mary, take my hand and lead me as I decide to accept God's grace to forgive. And four. Jesus, thank you for giving me Mary, Mother of Forgiveness, to be my mother. Mary of Forgiveness, pray for me. And then below there's a nice thing you can do and fill out for each person. This is something you can put in your Bible or in there, and you can use over and over for each person. And hopefully you will, well, not hopefully, that God will reward you. He will do something. You should have expectant faith. We should have a journey from believing to trust, and we need to tell God that. I do believe, but help my lack of trust. You know, just like today when Father said, you know, to truly believe in the body and blood of Jesus. Jesus, help my trust. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Wonderful job. There is plenty of books up here on forgiveness, the book that he was reading from. So they are here. And then one thing that we're a little short of is the 14 questions for. But they're, again, online, available online. So you'll avail yourself of that. Okay, we're going to take about a 15-minute break to stretch and to do what you need to do. So we'll be back.